Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And this is a show about magic, life-changing magic. And our guest is the author of a wonderful book, and he's a highly credentialed PhD psychotherapist and actually the head of a state organization for licensed therapists. And he's very highly credentialed. And yet, probably he's proudest of being called a silly old mojo man. And that's Brad Keeney. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
How does that sound about you?
Well, I like the word mojo, particularly since I'm talking to you from New Orleans. And down here, that's a word that has a fond, long history. And it connotes, you know, magic. And our work here in New Orleans is to help people find the way in which magic can infuse their everyday and transform their life in quite remarkable, unexpected ways.
Well, you've had a very unexpected life, and I think it's good for you to talk because things have happened in your life that are in your book that are quite amazing. The way serendipity has guided you, and you've been following spirit and have wandered around the world. Actually, not wandered. Dreamt and be drawn and pulled and tugged around the world to meet with amazing shamans and witch doctors, all kinds of people from incredible cultures that had amazing gifts for you.
Yes, it's been an extraordinary journey. And it certainly, in my case, wasn't marked by my looking for it. I truly had little interest in being a spiritual seeker. I always wanted to be a jazz pianist. Or a composer of Broadway musicals. And George Gershwin was my first inspiration. And then all the jazz greats were the gods and the divine prophets for me. So it was quite a surprise to find myself having visionary experiences that led me to all these people you mentioned around the world. And the paradox is that what I discovered is that quite in counter-distinction to many of the things that are being taught today, is that I've found that it's not about the words. It's not the words that open the magic. It's not the words or the magical incantations that people believe, if uttered or believed, will open doors to great mysteries. It's the music and the rhythms. So what I found was that playing jazz and improvising kicked open the greatest doors to the mysteries of healing and personal transformation. So I got in without knowing I was knocking on that door.
Well, after reading your book, my impression is that your mind is jazz, that you operate fully in creativity in every moment, and the mojo is alive and is guiding. I would call mojo a guiding force in life, in breaking doors down. And
yeah, I like the way you say that.
I mean,
I think that mojo and creativity, I would go on and say the universal life force, whether we call it kundalini or spirit or whatnot, there's, you know, dozens and dozens of metaphors for that. The universal life force is the creative force. And to talk about it in a magical way is to say that's mojo. When your mojo's working, you're feeling the life force surging through every vein, and it's just bursting creative expression in everything that you do. So that's the whole of it. You know, get hooked, get an infusion of the life force in a playful, good way, and allow it to just turn you into a wild, creative improvisationalist in the everyday play.
Well, when you say everyday play, I think that's what's most important, because a lot of people say, oh, I can be wild. You know, just give me a few drinks, I'll be at a party, and I'll go crazy. And then the rest of their life is very boxed in.
Right, and that kind of wild is sort of a dumb wild. We're talking about a truly creative wild, and that means being, you know, able to participate in the divine everyday play. I mean, I think it's useful to imagine the gods, just looking down, being bored. They want us to be entertaining. They want us to capture their interest, to help them wake up from their state of boredom. So we have to make ourselves interesting, and we have to do sort of whatever it takes on our stage to catch their interest. And this changes the whole thing from being obedient robots who follow particular, you know, belief systems and particular routinized everyday schemes and rituals to becoming improvisationalist on a stage, trying to create some noise, trying to create something that's creative, that the gods say, let's go down and play with these folks.
Right, and I'm thinking that it's not so much the trying as allowing, and I think so much of what we need to shift is that part of us that doesn't believe.
Yes.
And if we can let go, that's why this book is so great, because you have so many examples in here of the mojo at work in day-to-day life. And that's the way it is. You know, you're a therapist, and you're a heretic. You're in this life to show that the traditional ways haven't worked.
Yep.
And why haven't they worked? And that's because the traditional ways are constantly creating boxes. And you are a box breaker.
I like that. I mean, there's no doubt that we're all in gridlock. I mean, I won't even mention his name, but I mean, look, the most popular theorist of spirituality invents a grid and puts everything inside different boxes. We can't get away from these categorization schemes, this way of knowing and serving, putting everything into a convenient, easy explanation. And I agree full-heartedly with you that our healing professions, whether they be called the mental health professions, call it social work, psychiatry, counseling, psychotherapy, family therapy, brief therapy, hypnosis, all of it, is a grand failed experiment. That's not to say there aren't healers among those who have those titles, because some of them are doing something that's mojo-like, even if they don't know it. But the traditions themselves have steered us away from the magic that ancient traditions have fostered and cultivated for thousands of years, as compared to our mere 1 to 200 years young folk healing tradition. So we have worshipped at the altar of Nielsen ratings and statistical outcome studies, and have completely given in to the greatest drug lords of our time, the pharmacology corporations, and as a result have created this complete madness. And then when spiritual teachers come on the scene, they just give us, for the most part, psychobabble. They are like psychotherapists reinterpreting spiritual wisdom as psychological insights. But the oldest way is to play. The oldest way is to invent. The oldest way is to just absolutely say yes to the possibility of being in a great sandbox and let it all go in a dramatic, comedic, wonderful, theatrical, entertaining, transformative, creative way.
Right. And maybe those old cultures, the reason they knew better was that they didn't have a lot of structure around them at all. So they were tuned in to the nature, to the play of nature, to how life is unpredictable. And if life is unpredictable, so must we be.
Exactly. And this was this modeling. You know, when you're truly being danced by the changes of nature, it's easier for you to get that change is nature, and our nature is change. And this then becomes, you know, a more useful, a more transformative, a more alive model for how to be in the world, be as nature is changing. And always knowing that whatever you're standing on now will be different tomorrow. If not, you're not alive.
Right.
And this cultivation and relationship to transformation so becomes a life where creativity is the art of shape-shifting. You know, now
sure.
You're in this mood, now you're in that mood, now you're thinking this idea, tomorrow you think another one.
Right.
So the oldest people on the planet, I remember one of the surprises anthropologists had, they asked the Bushmen of the Kalahari, what's your name for God? For the creator, and they came up with something like Sky God. But 3 months later, another anthropologist asked the same person, what's your name for the divine? And they said it was Frog. They said, Frog? I thought it was the Sky God. I said, yeah, but you know, it hadn't rained for months, and when it rained, we heard the frogs, so now God is Frog. It's improvising, it's changing, and so are we. But we want to fix everything and put it down to a general principle and put it inside some kind of grid and categorical file cabinet, as you've been alluding to, And our job as liberators of the spirit, because I can tell you're one too, is to trip people to find themselves outside these boxes. And I don't mean the concept being outside the box. I mean being in that flow experience of having spontaneous performance of being alive. The poetics of living, the erotics of enchanting and charming the everyday.
Right.
Any kind of word that trips you out of an habituated way of thinking, this is how I have to model it, represent it, instead jump full-heartedly into the stream that carries you to one surprise after another, and that's mojo.
Right, and you illustrate that so beautifully in the book. And a lot of people come to me for help, and often they explain their issues and how stuck they are, and I look at them and I go, well, how do you know? You know, people come to conclusions, and you can't come to conclusions.
Absolutely, yes. Once you have, there you are. You're concluded. Come to a conclusion, and you're concluded. Congratulations. next life, please.
Right, and sometimes they want to come to me to give them a different conclusion.
Right. Yes. Another ending. End of that life. Next, please. And the thing is, yes, keep it. Just stop punctuating it with periods or even exclamation marks. It just keep the sentence running. And this is the wonderful thing about stream of consciousness living or stream living, being in the stream. Let's move away from self-esteem and get inside the movement of the spiritual stream so that this ever-flowing presentation of life will include contradictions. Embrace them. Be happy. Be happy that you're contradictory. It means you're alive. And do not try to reduce yourself to anything that can be conveniently taught or conveyed so someone else can model it and think that is the way it is. That is the conclusion, or else all will be concluded. That means the end. It's all over. Let us be filled with surprise.
Right. Right. A lot of people, when I talk to people, I help them identify how so much of their life has actually come out of left field.
Yes.
And why should that stop now?
Absolutely.
And so it's amazing because the magic is always there. And I mean, your journeys, I'm so fascinated by the journeys you've taken to different parts of the world where not, and this isn't, these aren't structured journeys. You were totally open. You had no idea what you were going to meet or even that anything was going to change. And all of a sudden, you had God's stamping on your roof.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird when you have a dream of a phone number. Someone just tells you, you hear the voice of a phone number, and you think, what the heck, I'll just call it. And the next morning you call it, and it ends up being a holy person. And it's like, okay, I guess there's no symbol to that. You know, that's the end of Jungian psychology. I have clients who are, some of them, well-known authors of Jungian books. And they're quite surprised to find that in the world of spiritual visioning, there's a kind of dream that is not metaphorical, nor is it something that you want to interpret. It's not about conveying meaning. It's about giving you a map. It's about direct prescription. It says, do this, go there, and bring this into the world. Mm-hmm. And that is the jump. The jump from the everyday humdrum conclusion world that you're, I like your metaphor to use that to hang on to. The world where everybody's saying you have to draw a conclusion, you have to have the interpretation, you have to have the story, the narrative, and if you have the right one, then all is delivered. That's the dead end. The other world is the prescriptive world. Jump in, interact with life, it will interact back, it'll dance you. Jump into life, it will dance you. And this movement from having to interpret and having to know into just dancing is the whole shift. That's the paradigm shift. There is no paradigm shift to a different kind of knowing. There's the jumping off of all paradigms of knowing and just dancing.
I'm reminded of a chapter in your book where you come across this very stiff, lifeless doll.
Yeah, that was unreal.
And all of a sudden, that doll... it was very transformative.
Yes. Yes, there are these things that have no explanation. I like to say it's best to talk about them in the twilight. That is, where they're not really dreamlike, and nor are they the kind of things that the laws of science and objective descriptions can truly account for. they're in a realm of experience that our language just can't really hold. It's mystery. And this doll you talk about, you know, came into my life, and it was a doll that when sacred songs would be performed, it came to life. It would dance. And the story of how that occurred over years and how it fell into my hands and how it was, you know, then passed on to its owners among some of our indigenous people in South Dakota is a wild story. But it's an example of, yeah, mojo comes into the world in all kinds of forms, whether it be a Balinese god stomping on the roof, like it happened to me in Bali, or this doll that came to life, a wooden doll that came to life and danced, or whether it be pots that disappear or drums that fly. These things have come to touch our deepest imagination, but I think they're not there for us to then turn around and explain. This is what's so awful about so many, pardon me for saying it, pop psych and pop spirituality books. They want to explain mystery, and that kills mystery. What happens is when we encounter a drum that flies or something that walks on the roof that's from another dimension, it's supposed to bankrupt our ability to talk about it and to know anything. Its main purpose is to say, all of this is above me. This is way beyond our explanations. I'm just going to be someone who serves mystery. I want mystery to move me. I don't want to sit around and explain it, but we turn around and say, oh, this is what that means. You know, it's a quark, it's a quantum this, it's an integral that, it's a whatever this. And this absolutely disrespects, defames, and completely pulls away the carpet of mystery. So the purpose of these things is to trip us out of the boxes, right where you said it's to make us to say we can't conclude anything. It's just too big and complex and beautiful and wonderful. Let's enjoy the ride.
Well, it's also, let's be contagious about it, too.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think your book is extremely contagious.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's really about learning to love the magic in ways that we invite it. I want to invite so much more magic into my life after reading your book.
Yes, and you know, the real secret, the biggest magic of them all, the biggest magic of them all, is the magic of love. And we all, when we first were children, we felt love, however we thought it was, whether it was puppy love or the love for our parents or love for our siblings or friends. Love came with giving us the clue to the greatest mystery of the cosmos, that love kicks open the door. And when you fall in love and you feel the pulling and longing for more love, you find that you're loving love. It's a circular Ouroboros serpent dragon that feeds off its own tail.
And why not? It feels so good.
It's the best feeling there is. It's what we search. It is the Holy Grail. And love, when we love all. I mean, when we're totally in love, the world becomes charmed, it becomes enchanted, and that's when the magic comes. So the way to get to the magic is to be a roomy lover, howling like a dog at the moon, longing for the great longings of love.
Well, then we look out at the world on this very dense plane that we live on, and we see a lot of density, a lot of boxes, a lot of limitations. And then we say, well, how can we be this way with all this love and mojo and magic and excitement and surrender when all it seems to be going to hell around us?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's an interesting thing. And you talk about the left side and the right side in your book.
Yes. Well, let's just play with, let's just dance with the things you're proposing, the metaphors you've thrown into the air right now.
Sure.
I mean, here it is. We have this problem. It's called the box, B-O-X. We have the box. Let's go backwards in time. Let's do some time traveling, because before things weren't so fouled up, we'll all agree in the Garden of Eden, things were just as they ought to be. So before the box, there was just the ox, the holy cattle. So we had the Hinduism. We had the wisdom of the great religious traditions. We dropped the letter. We had one letter less. So now we have the holy ox. But if you go all the way back before that, you just end up with an X. And X is the sign of mystery. X is the crossroads. X is the time of twilight. That's when it cannot be known but can be experienced. It can be known that it can't be known. But what is that? Not a knowing. It's an entry into the crossroads of a mystery. So we need to throw away the B, throw away the O, and get back to the X. And then we don't have a box, we just have an X, and that's the crossroads that opens the door to our hearts and all the mysteries that can rain a shower of blessings upon each and every day.
Right, right. And the way I look at it is that when we see these negatives in the world, that's a box that we're putting around it. It's a negative box.
Right.
And yet, you know, let's just say that, well, we have good reason to feel that way.
Yes.
You know, okay, so we have, that's another box. And then we say, but then again, what do we know? Not
right.
And that's not about making the boxes right or wrong.
Yes.
That's just
yes.
about, you know, saying, you know, these are all just games that we're playing with life that
yeah.
We can't make any conclusions about.
Well, maybe we're just caught in a situation where the world is so boxy that we can't get away with the boxes. So then we have to be a bit more clever. Maybe we should carry a backpack. A shamanic backpack that's filled with all kinds of delightful boxes, small boxes, medium boxes, but they're all beautiful. They're like gift wraps, little ribbons and so forth. And as we talk to people and encounter their boxes, we say, you know, that's a fascinating box that you put your life in. Here, I want to give you this gift box that'll hold your box. We'll pull out of your backpack in a nice little box and say, here's a box for all your boxes. Now we're playing with boxes, and when you play with boxes, they start to do what? They start to move. They start to be able to even dance themselves. So maybe we should just find a new kind of box to distribute in the world that helps people be more playful with the boxes they seem to not be able to disappear or move in their own lives.
Right. And one thing you talk about in the book, and maybe focusing on better than boxes or pillows.
Pillows are very nice, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it struck me one day because that case you talk about where a young therapist found that her mojo was in her pillow. It struck me one day that the object in the world we're most intimate with is our pillow. We spend, you know, look, our head is on our pillow. And some people take seriousness about the size pillow, its comfort. Some people get attached. They'll have a worn-out pillow they never get rid of. But when you think about it, this pillow is one incredible presence in our life. So we might be able to organize ourselves to take it more seriously, and by that I mean more playfully. So I encourage people to create a little magical pillow, put words of wisdom, put photographs, holy photographs, silly photographs, whatever it is, inside their pillow, sleep on it. We know Edgar Casey didn't do his homework. He just slept on his book. So put holy things in the pillow and sleep on it. Who knows what will happen? But use the pillow as a laboratory, an entrance into the nighttime light that is always ready to fill yourself with a deep, unexpected delight. So that pillow is a source of magical entry. And if we begin to re-look at the world and the things that are common in it, including our boxes, but that includes our pillows as well, we need to free the pillow, bring the pillow out of the box. It's more than just a soft thing to lay our head on. It's the temple that holds that part of us as it goes into every night for the dreaming. So perhaps a whole new industry, sacred pillow making.
Well, not only that, you have wands in your book. I mean, you have so many tools. I love the opportunity of playing with new tools. And you present so many.
You could actually become someone who offers tools to the world. I mean, this where we extend this invitation to everyone who's part of our magical conversation now. Yeah, imagine retooling the world. Let's put
sure.
more magical tools. Let's put mojo tools. Let's put instruments for loving. Let's fill the world with all things not yet considered, but things taken for granted because they're put into trivial boxes that make them ordinary. And let's transform them by a magical reframe, a magical way of reconnoting it, of reorganizing our relationship to it so it now participates in the dance of mystery.
These are actually toys.
Yes.
Not tools so much as toys.
Better. That's the first. You just did it. You just put magic into the tools. The tools are sacred toys. Wouldn't that be much more liberating for someone to say, rather than say these are sacred instruments, to say are sacred tools, to say these are sacred toys? I love that. That's a great one.
Magic toys.
Yeah, magic toys.
Right. And the magic toys are only the handles on the magic of life that allow us to participate, because we don't know what else to do, so we might as well use a toy.
Because, yes, and when you hold a toy wand, think rather than you waving it to create magic in the world, the universe, is holding on to that wand, waving you and dipping you into the magic.
Yeah, it's a handle on both sides.
On both sides.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And your book is a great handle also to climb into magic with. And it's so fascinating. It's easy reading because there's your adventures are very exciting and traveling to these different cultures around the world, and the serendipity that happened when you were doing it, and the way these magic tools were introduced to you by these great shamans of other cultures.
Yes, sometimes they just fell from the sky, and other times they were conveyed, delivered by, you know, holy people. But it certainly was an entry to me into knowing that, boy, there are mysteries, and now we're going to say there are toy mysteries. There are mysteries of the spiritual toys that are beyond any category that could ever hold them, any conceptual box could ever explain them. And that should be cause for celebration and liberation, to say, let us set ourselves free to live more magically without knowing, so as to serve the greater knowing that's more complex than any limited kind of map our mind can draw.
Yeah, the greater knowing is our unknowing.
Absolutely.
And it's all the possibility that we don't know, and we won't know, because the next possibility is the frog.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. And that's a leap. Just think of the leap, the leap into a new life, that when you get that the frog is the next god.
Yeah, I mean, it's so beautiful that we can hold that, because then we can be the frog too.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the blessing of this, is so much of the openness of play as to who we are, and not only who we are, but how we are.
Yes, yes. I mean, I've devoted my life to helping others find this magic, to be able to make this leap, to feel it in their own life. And my colleague Hillary Stevenson and I here in New Orleans, you know, we offer, you know, ourselves to help people find their mojo. That's what we do. This book is really a story, an account of the stories of how we've run into mojo and help people with all kinds of challenges and problems, whether the kind of problems that you would typically think, I need to see a therapist for that, serious kinds of things, or people just saying, you know, my life is boring, I need a little more zest, or those saying, I want to find my mission, I want to find my destiny.
And to do that, Brad, the flying drum is the answer. The flying drum is the name of your book.
Yes, yes, yes. And everything's got a beat. Everything that's alive has got a beat, got a heart, got a beat. And you hold on to it, and know that what you're holding on to is also a magical wand, because that drum, that the flying drum, does have something to hold on to. When you hold on, it's going to fly you as well as give you a ride into the magic that can never be known, because it's the greater unknowing that's the mind of that which is mystery.
That's beautiful. Now, tell us about any websites that we should go to.
You can look us up at mojodoctors.com. And you can see, there we are. We offer weekend intensives, small groups in our home. And there we help people find their mojo and have an infusion of magic in their life.
Wow, the magic must fly in those weekends.
They're wild. They're extraordinary. it's just like I feel like a child every time that I behold the mysteries that come when we work the spirit.
Yes. Well, this is all about spirit, and this has been such a spirited opportunity to talk with you. I'm so excited about having had this opportunity. You're a gift to listen to. Also, your words flow out of you in such beautiful ways. It's so nice to listen to you.
Thank you, Peter. It's a joy. I've enjoyed speaking with you, and hope that the energy stew continues to be served to everyone, because it's all about jumping into the big pot and getting cooked and making yourself the stew that served feeds those who have great hunger for the mysteries we've been discussing.
That's great. Thanks. Thank you, Brad Keeney, so much. Thank you for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you. been a blessing. Take care.
You too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HeartRiver.org. And thank you so much for listening.